commit to the stars in search of the answers. Look for God and life on distant planets. Have your faith in the ever after, while each of us holds inside the map to the labyrinth. Oh, well, I haven't seen on Earth. We are the spirit, the collective conscience. We create the pain and the suffering and the beauty in this world. Heaven's here on earth.
Yeah.
In our faith in humankind, in our respect for what is earthly, in our unfaltering belief, in peace and love and understanding. I've seen and met angels wearing the disguise of ordinary people living ordinary lives, filled with love, compassion, forgiveness, and sacrifice. Heaven's in our hearts,
yeah.
In our faith in humankind, and our respect for what is earthly, and our unfaltering belief in peace, love and understanding. Well, look around, believe in what you see. The kingdom is at hand, the promised land is at your feet. We can and will become what we aspire to be. If heaven's here on earth, if we have faith in humankind, and a respect for what is earthly, and an unfaltering belief, the truth is divinity. Heaven's here on earth. If we just have faith in humankind, and a respect for what is earthly, and an unfaltering belief in peace and love and understanding, this could be heaven here on earth.
Thank you. That was beautiful. Good morning. My name is Sue Warner, and I'm honored to serve on your Board of Trustees. Welcome to those in our sanctuary and to everybody online. Our Sunday service is at 10 a.m. Central Time, and you can watch our services anytime on demand at our website or on YouTube. And just a reminder to join us today after the service for a simple lunch of soup, bread, and salad. All are welcome. Have you seen all the presents under the Christmas tree in the garden court? We're getting ready to deliver your gifts to Prism's holiday toy shop. Together, we can bring holiday joy to local children and their parents. This is the final week to donate. And some upcoming events that you may want to consider attending include the Practice of Delight. This three-week series will help us pay attention to what gives us delight. It starts this Wednesday and is led by Wendy Brown Baez. Then Reverend Pat's Advent class, Younger Next Christmas, begins Thursday morning. He'll be using Deepak Chopra's book, Grow Younger, Live Longer, 10 Steps to Reverse Aging. Join Reverend Pat and his special guests in this four-week series. The next Sunday, our Earth Care Ministry leads 100 ways to help make your holidays greener. And then our annual remembrance service is set for Monday, December 4th. Please let the office know if you want to include a loved one's name, and we'll light a candle in their honor. And then, this is new, you're invited to end your day with Reverend Pat's Advent Prayer Group on Zoom. This will happen Wednesday evenings beginning on December 6th. And then, next year is sure to be one of transformation for Unity Minneapolis. And if you'd like to help guide that transformation, I urge you to prayerfully consider service on our Board of Trustees. The nominating committee is starting to look for qualified candidates for the board. If you're interested, we urge you to come to a information session on Tuesday, December 12th at 12 p.m. And now, please join Reverend Pat in our opening prayer.
Thank you, Sue. I'm going to begin our prayer time by sharing with you again Unity's statement of peace. Unity stands for peace in the presence of conflict, for love in the presence of hatred, for forgiveness in the presence of injury. Unity honors the many names for God, the many paths to God, the many ways to worship God, for there is only one power and presence, that is God. And God loves each one of us equally. It is therefore the position of Unity Worldwide Ministries and Unity World Headquarters at Unity Village to urge all nations, their leaders, and their people to turn to God by whatever the name for guidance during these challenging times and pursue peace, not war. For this is what honors the God of all of our faith traditions. Unity stands for peace in our lifetime. So join me in our opening prayer. Father, Mother, God, divine source of life, we gather today in unity and in gratitude, acknowledging the precious gift of existence itself. Bless our community with the awareness of that sacred thread that connects us all. And may our hearts be filled with love and compassion and shared purpose, and hearts full of gratitude, thanksgiving, and thanksgiving. And today we pray with those that have requested our prayers. And we hold that high watch. We know for them the truth until they are able to know it for themselves. And today, regardless of what is going on in our life, regardless of what that may be, we remember that divine presence within that is greater than any situation that we are facing today. So today we give thanks for love, we give thanks for life. And together we say thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. And again, thank you, God. And yet again, thank you, God. Let's applaud this day, okay? We invite you to stand for our opening song.
There is more than enough in a universe that you created. There is more than enough on a planet of sacred design. There is more than enough for humanity made in your image. Why would I worry? I doubt. Why would I ever think I'd go without? Why would I worry? Why would I doubt? Why would I ever think I'd go without? Your infinite love made me, made everything I see, and all that will ever be is your infinite love. Let my soul know the truth. Whatever I choose to do, your infinite love will prove more than enough. There is more than in a universe that you created. There is more than enough on a planet of sacred design. There is more than enough for humanity made in your image. Why would I worry? Why would I doubt? Why would I ever think I'd go without? Why would I worry? Why would I doubt?
I don't know.
Why would I ever think I'd go without? Your infinite love made me, made everything I see, and all that will ever be is your infinite.
Please be seated. Good morning. It is great to see you here. You know, the first snowfall on Sunday is amazing. It's amazing. You know, you are the few, you are the proud, you're the Minnesotans. You're right here, you know. So grateful to have you with us today. And those of you that are not in the snowfall today, we welcome you as well. We're grateful that you're with us online today as well. You know, unity is that open and welcoming, inclusive community. We offer positive teachings that help us to live meaningful, healthy, and prosperous lives. And one of our core values here at Unity Minneapolis is that of welcoming. So not only do we welcome you here in our sanctuary, but we welcome those online as well. So if you're in our sanctuary today and you're our guest, please allow us to honor your presence here today. I promise we will do nothing drastic. Just take your courage in your hand and raise your hand as I raise my hand. Guest today, guest over here, absolutely. Guest back here as well. Hold that hand up. Guest over here as well. Hold that hand up until our ushers get to you. Also, if you are online with us this morning and you are a guest, we would by all means invite you to fill out a contact card and someone from our staff will reach out and give you that personal one-on-one welcome. All of that's important, dear friends, but one of the most important things that is said on this platform each and every Sunday morning is this, and that is, my dear friends, wherever you are in your spiritual journey, wherever that may be, you are welcome here. We welcome you, we bless you, and we behold that living presence of the divine within you. Let's appreciate our guests this morning, okay? Also, just an FYI for those that are streaming with us today, we will be doing communion today, and we'll hear more about that shortly. But we will be doing communion, so if you're at home, you might want to get your bread, your wine, your grapefruit juice, whatever you substitute for alcohol, or if you don't substitute a thing, get the wine, okay? But by all means, come and be a part of that. You know, let us know together our mission statement. Our mission statement together for our community is found in your order of service. This is our mission statement. Together, we are a vibrant, inclusive, prosperous spiritual community, inspiring and empowering full expression of the divine within through prayer, education, and service. We're going to do that again, one more time, please. We are a vibrant, inclusive, prosperous spiritual community, inspiring and empowering full expression of the divine within through prayer, education, and service. And now the reading of our daily word.
We now move deeper into spirit with the reading of the daily word. You are invited to mentally add your prayers to our prayer box. After the service, the prayer box is located in the garden court where you may add your written requests. You may also submit an online prayer request via our website. Your prayers are prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days, and then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they are prayed with for an additional 30 days. The word for today, Sunday, November 26th, 2023, is grace. We affirm, I trust grace is my constant blessing. As an expression of God, I need not ever worry about earning God's approval or favor. Grace is my assurance that I am one with God, an heir to all God is. I know oneness during times of deep spiritual communion, understanding I am fully human and fully divine. Through this awareness, my experience of grace deepens. I understand grace as more than a gift from God and begin to see it as an aspect of my divine inheritance. Grace is not a blessing I need hope for. It is the blessing I can count upon. It is trusting I will have what I need when I need it, that my support will come to me even from the most unlikely channels. Grace is knowing that God is with me and within me throughout my life. And from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your doing. It is the gift of God. We affirm, I trust grace is my constant blessing. The word for today is grace.
To be humble, to be kind, It is the giving of the peace in your mind to a stranger, to a friend, to give in such a way that has no end. We are love. We are one. We are how we treat each other when the day is done. We are peace. We are war. We are how we treat each other and nothing more. To be bold and to be brave, it is the thinking that the heart can still be saved. And the darkness can come quick, the danger's in the anger and the hanging on to it. We are love. We are one. We are how we treat each other when the day is done. We are peace. We are war. We are how we treat each other and nothing more. Tell me what it is that you see. A world that's full of endless possibilities. Heroes don't look like they used to. They look like you do. We are love. We are one. We are how we treat each other when the day is done. We are peace. We are war. We are how we treat each other, nothing more. We are love. We are one. We are how we treat each other when the day is done. We are peace. We are war. We are how we treat each other and nothing more. We are how we treat each other and nothing more. We are how we treat each other.
We now take this time in quiet meditation to settle our minds and our bodies, to focus our attention on the breath and just noticing the rhythm of the giving and the receiving of our life force, that inhalation and the exhalation. We begin to gently open our hearts as we feel this collective energy of our like-minded friends and family, opening to the feeling of gratitude. Gratitude isn't just a word. Jesus said that gratitude represents the feeling in our hearts for God. The feeling of gratitude is an emotion, a visceral reaction, and not just an idea. It is our responsibility to ignite the feeling of gratitude in ourselves. With enough practice, gratitude can become a habit. With this feeling of gratitude, we are preparing to take in the body and the blood of Christ, represented as the wine and the bread. Let us affirm that we are ready to let go of limiting old beliefs and fears and accept the substance and vitality of God as our consciousness. Our oneness with spirit as the new Christ life comes into a mind where old beliefs concerning the body have been held, the body is transformed into its innate spiritual perfection. As we slowly enter into this time of silence, we allow the presence of the indwelling Christ to fill every cell and fiber of our being. We look within, becoming one with this Christ presence, expressing through each of us as the power of the I Am. As we gently come back into this space, we know and affirm the same Christ that was the Christ in Jesus dwells in us now. The Christ substance and the Christ life we have appropriated moves in us now to will and to do what Divine Spirit would have us do, and to be what Divine Spirit would have us be. I am the Christ, one with the living God. I am that I am, and so it shall be.
There are 100 billion snowflakes swirling in the cosmic storm, and each one is a galaxy, 1 million stars or more. And each star is 1 million Earths, a giant fiery sun, high up in some sky, maybe shining on some. And deep inside a snowflake, I am floating quietly. I am infinitesimal, impossible to see. Sitting in my tiny kitchen, in my tiny home, staring out my window at a universe of snow. But my soul is so much bigger than the very tiny me. It reaches out into the snowstorm like a net into the sea, out to all the lovely places where my body cannot go. I touch that beauty and embrace it in the bosom of my soul. And so brief and fleeting is this tiny life of mine, like a single quarter note in the march of time, but my soul is like the music. It goes back to ancient days, before it wore a human face, long before it bore my name. Because my soul is so much older than the evanescent me, it can describe the dawn of time like a childhood memory. It's a spark that was begotten from the darkness long ago. What my body has forgotten, I remember in my soul. And so we live this life together, my giant soul and tiny me, one resembling forever, one like smoke upon the breeze, one a deep abiding ocean, one a sudden crashing wave, and counting galaxies like snowflakes, I could swear we are the same. Oh, my soul belongs to beauty, takes me up to lofty heights, teaches ancient stories to me, sanctifies my tiny life, lays a bridge across the ages, melts the boundaries of my bones, paints a bold eternal face in this passing moment. Oh, my soul.
How can you not hear those words and that melody and have a sense of awe and gratitude for life itself? Sense that? Thank you, Judy. Karen, thanks for the beautiful meditation. That sense of awe and beauty and gratitude is all about this idea of thanks living. Thanks living. And today, in honor of Thanksgiving, we are doing something special. We are going to offer communion with the elements. I'm really pleased about this decision, and I'm excited to share this with you. I'm curious, how many of you have experienced communion with the elements in this sanctuary at Unity Minneapolis? A little more than half, so good. And I was expecting there would be some folks that have never had the experience. And so as you think about this idea of communion with the elements, if there's the possibility of some negative past theology perhaps coming up for you, I ask you to be with that and perhaps just set it aside and be open to the possibility of a new way, a new approach around communion. Sometimes I am asked, Reverend Kevin, in Unity, do you do communion? And when I hear that question, I like to quote my favorite senior minister. I said, yes, of course, we do communion every single time that we come together as a spiritual community. Every single time. And yet, we do communion with the elements twice a year in this community. Once around Thanksgiving, welcome. And then once again, right before Easter. As I was preparing for today, I was reflecting on my own relationship with communion. And having been raised Catholic, I experience communion with the elements every single Sunday and every single special service that was part of that mass experience. I recalled my time as an altar boy. Now, I know some of you are right now imagining me in a black dress and a white smock. I was a cute altar boy. Didn't always behave. I recall when there would be a huge fuss made when someone accidentally dropped the host at church. And I also recall Sister Viola Irene, who was in charge of the altar boys. Now, this is old school because there were no altar girls at the time. She was in charge of the altar boys as well as the discipline when you didn't follow the rules. After leaving Catholicism, from time to time, I would attend Mass with my mother before she passed. And I would have this almost visceral reaction to her. As part of this service, right before communion was served, there would be this statement made, and I know some of you know this, "I am not worthy." And she would literally say those words out loud and strike her chest. Now, I had already done some of my own personal work around my lack of worthiness, and so that was an especially triggering thing for me. And just what's interesting is my mother, 2 days before she made her unexpected transition, I believe she had a premonition. And we were sitting at my kitchen table over dinner, and she says, "You know," and I have four brothers, she said, "You know, at my funeral mass, none of you boys are allowed to go to communion." Know that her request was honored at her Catholic Mass funeral. Know that we honored that. I'm also really happy, deeply grateful, and pleased to say that we did a second celebration of life for her in this sanctuary with Reverend Pat, and I am so grateful for that experience. For me, with my history, communion was always tied to rules, sin, shame, and separation. It was less about a connection to God and more about doing the rules, following right process and so forth. Every time that I have experienced communion in this community, it's been a healing experience for me. And so I hope at least some of the same is true for you as we go in today. As we move into our communion service, let me be perfectly clear. Everyone is welcome at this communion table. Everyone is worthy. Everyone has a seat at this table. In order to understand the deeper meaning of communion, we need to explore the context of its origins. Specifically, we need to look at the life and ministry of our master teacher, Jesus, as well as that special Passover meal. For starters, it is important to remember that Jesus was a Jew primarily teaching other Jews. And like other Jews, Jesus participated in the Passover tradition. Regarding his short yet very powerful ministry, Jesus was all about shaking up and challenging the status quo. All about challenging the status quo. In seminary, I had a favorite teacher, professor, a true Bible scholar, Reverend Dan Beckett. And what I so deeply appreciate about him is he brought this academic rigor to the Bible and to interpretation and the historical Jesus and all of that, and yet he did so with a big and loving heart. Really an important person in terms of my training and education as a minister. And I want to share a quote from him, and I want to make sure I got it right. This is from Reverend Dan. His quote was, "Jesus was a badass." Jesus was a badass. Now, that might be provocative and pushing some buttons. I'll wait for the emails. Let me say more. Let me say more. And using the words of author Jim Palmer, who tells us, Jesus was not some nice, neatly shaven white guy who carried baby lambs in his arms, picking daisies, patting children on the head, and spouting off happy beatitudes and platitudes. Jesus raised hell against the religious establishment, and his life was the middle finger to those religious and political hierarchies and powers that sought to dominate, control, oppress, exploit, shame, and divide people. Whether in the name of God or Caesar, Jesus would have none of it. Each time Jesus opened his mouth, he was pulling out another wooden Jenga block that destabilized the power towers of his day. Jesus' love was fierce, tenacious, courageous, unyielding, gutsy, and unflinching. He stood for the inherent worth of every human being. He denounced the religious lie that humankind was separated from God. He told people to find heaven within themselves. Jesus proclaimed another world was possible. He chastised people for sitting around waiting on God to save the world and told them to wake up and save it themselves. He rebuked people who tried to make a religion out of him and argued that everyone is divine and human. Everyone is divine and human. Jesus lived and preached with great passion and conviction. And yet, I believe something shifted with him during that final week right before Passover. Jesus very likely and clearly saw the coming execution that he would be facing. That week, I believe he became much more reflective and began to examine and even question his ministry, his purpose, his life's work, wondering if he really made a difference. I also imagine that he was deeply present to the love that he shared with his loved ones, his humanity. I think all of this drove some urgency with him and likely caused some of the most vulnerable and tender moments of his ministry, as well as drove some of the mystical teachings that occurred in that upper room over that Passover dinner. The Passover itself appears in all four of the Gospels. The details and all that differ, and yet what is consistent is some consistent themes. Obviously, there was the sharing of the meal, the symbolic bread and wine. All four Gospels talk about that. And yet, most importantly, I believe it was Jesus expressing his love for his followers and asking that he be remembered. Asking that he be remembered. I think the two most important statements from these Gospels are, love one another as I have loved you. Love one another as I have loved you. And do this in remembrance of me. Two most powerful statements. I'm going to share with you from the book of Luke. While it's in all four Gospels, I said, this is my favorite. Now the festival of unleavened bread arrived when the Passover lambs were sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead and said, go and prepare the Passover meal so that we can eat it together. Where do you want us to go? They asked him. He replied, as soon as you enter Jerusalem, a man carrying a pitcher of water will meet you. Follow him. At the house he enters, say to the owner, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I can eat the Passover meal with my disciples? He will take you upstairs to a large room that is already set up. That is the place. Go ahead and prepare our supper there. They went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover supper there. Then at the proper time, Jesus and the 12 apostles sat down together at the table. And Jesus said, I have looked forward to this hour with deep longing, anxious to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat it again until it comes to fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks for it, he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink this wine again until the kingdom of God has come. Then he took the loaf of bread, and when he thanked God for it, he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this wine is the token of God's new covenant to save you, an agreement sealed with the blood I will pour out for you. I believe that through the sacred symbology of communion, we as followers of Jesus the Christ can experience a greater oneness with him, as well as our own indwelling Christ presence and nature. Charles Fillmore, co-founder of our movement, describes the metaphysical significance and meaning behind communion. So listen to this. The benefit of taking Holy Communion is the establishing of our acceptance of the Christ, whose coming we celebrate within our mind and heart. The bread used in the churches symbolizes substance, which we consider as pure body, a body of spiritual ideas, and the wine symbolizes his blood, which we consider life, or the circulation of divine ideas in our consciousness that will purify our mind and heart and renew our strength, freeing us from all corruption, sin, and evil, and bringing forth in us the abundant, unlimited life of God. Through the appropriation and assimilation of the substance and life in our own consciousness, we blend our minds with the God mind, and there is a harmonizing in every single fiber of our body with the Christ body, which is life and light. As our mind and hearts are cleansed of untrue thoughts and beliefs, and as we take in living ideas, our body takes on the life and the light of our divinity, and eventually will become living light. Eventually will become living light. As we move into this special time of communion, I invite you to open your hearts and your minds to this experience. Open your hearts and minds to this experience, bringing with you that metaphysical understanding of the bread and the wine. At this time, I'd like to invite my friend, my mentor, my minister, to the platform.
We don't often wear stoles here, and I just want to just tell you that the stole does not denote separation. We couldn't be separated if we wanted to. We're one with each other. The stole denotes service. So today we are in service to you and with you. I want to just pause and acknowledge Reverend Kevin for a wonderful lesson this morning. As most of you know, we usually do this service on a Wednesday evening, because we wanted more people to enjoy this service and participate in this service, we moved it to Sunday morning. As Reverend Kevin said, all are welcome at the table.
Yes.
Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you're welcome here. That does not necessarily mean that you need to participate. If you choose not to, that's perfectly all right. We invite you to, if you choose not to, we invite you to remain in your seat. Let's enjoy the silence and the stillness together. Also, just want to remind you that as you do so, you received a little slip of paper coming in. While you're waiting to receive communion or after you receive communion, we invite you to return to your seat in the stillness and in the silence and begin to write down ways that you will put my thanksgiving into thanksgiving. How do we take our thanksgiving and put it into living? You know the way. You know the way. The other thing I want to remind you of again and again, that you are welcome here. We also begin at the ushers will release from the back of the church. You will come down the center aisle. You will then receive the bread and the wine. There's a receptacle on either side for your plastic glasses that they're in, so drop them there. And then return to your seat using the aisles to return to your seat. So with that, we are going to begin our communion service.
I invite you first, just take a deep breath and just center in. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Matthew 26:26. Since Jesus said, "I am the bread of life," we know that when we turn inward to our own I am, we can feast upon this bread of truth. Breaking the bread as Jesus did means that he was explaining the principle of true thought and feeling. But we as disciples must be willing to eat, in other words, accept or assimilate the attributes of the principle and make its perfect action in the form of divine ideas. These divine ideas make up our spiritual body of the Christ self. After we have feasted on the body of truth in the form of life-giving substance, we can also share it with our disciples, the 12 thought centers of our being. There's a couple affirmations coming up that are in the order of service. We will say them once and then ask you to say it with us. The first affirmation: we are one with the radiant living substance of God. We are healed in body, mind, and spirit. Together, please. We are one with the radiant living substance of God. We are healed in body, mind, and spirit.
And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Matthew 26:27-28. The cup is our consciousness. To drink of the elixir of life, we first drain our consciousness of every idea of limitation that separates us from our spiritual inheritance, so that we can fill it with the life-giving wine of spiritual understanding. In the new dispensation, our teachings, the holy inspiration of love is shed, poured out to all for the remission of giving up of their sins, our limited, arrogant, ignorant beliefs. When I cross out my false beliefs about God, about myself, I can resurrect myself into an awareness of my true being, for I shall come into union have a common union, a communion with my own indwelling Christ presence. The affirmation, we will affirm it, and then I will ask you to affirm it with me. We are filled with a quickening life of spirit. We are made new in body, mind, and soul. Together, we are filled with a quickening life of spirit. We are made new in body, mind, and soul. Form two lines. We invite you to form two lines as you come to the table. Thank you. Are there others that would like to participate? Any volunteers in the back? Anyone on the platform? And of course, today, following the service, we invite you for another type of communion, common union with each other, as we gather for a common meal around soup and bread. All are welcome. We invite you to that. You know, and then after Jesus had that first communion service, common union service, Passover, the Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, known by many names. Tradition says he went into the garden, and there a song was sang.
Out of the ruins and rubble, out of the smoke, out of our nights of struggle, can we see a ray of hope? One pale thin ray reaching for the day. We can build a beautiful city. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can build a beautiful city, not a city of angels, but we can build a city of men. We may not reach the ending, but we can start. Slowly but surely mending, book by brick, heart by heart. Now, maybe now, we start learning how. City. Yes, we can. Oh, yes, we can. We can build a beautiful city, not a city of angels, but we can build a city of man. When your trust is all but shattered, when your faith is all can give up, bitter and battered, or you can slowly start to build a beautiful city. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. We can build a beautiful city, not a city of angels, but we can build a city of man. Oh, a city of man. Oh, a city of man.
Bravo. I said to Laurie before the service, we have our original A-team here this morning. We are so blessed. We are so blessed. Thank you, thank you. This time we have that opportunity to practice that spiritual law of circulation. So we are able to do what we do here because of you, because of you. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. So I want to invite you to make that gift to Unity Minneapolis today. There's many ways you can do that. Obviously, there's an offering basket that will be passed. There's a QR code in your order of service. Also, you can search PayPal or Venmo, Unity Minneapolis, and that. And you can also go to unityminneapolis.org, donate. Many ways to give. I'm going to invite our ushers to come forth, and as they come forth, we will affirm together our church offertory blessing found in your order of service. Let us affirm together our church offertory blessing. Together, divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And now silently. Thank you, God. Amen. Let us take a moment and bless these gifts, understanding that spiritual law of blessing, those things that we bless, increase in our life. So we bless these gifts. We bless those participating in our consistent giving program, our unexpected income program. We bless all the gifts that's been received in the mail. We bless them and we send them forth to fulfill our vision and mission of a transformed world. So together we say thank you, God. Together, thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. I don't know about you, but this week I received my in the mail, and most of you probably did too. And if you've not done so, there's extra copies in the lobby, on the garden court. Unity Stories, Stretching and Strengthening. It's a beautiful thing. We invite you to read that. And we also invite you to continue to support us by making a year-end gift to Unity Minneapolis, and so that we can continue changing lives and transforming lives as well. So that's an important part of our ministry here as well. Also, as you exit, if you've not received this, The Sweetest Christmas, this is our booklet that we will be using for Advent. Can you believe the next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent? It is. It is the first Sunday of Advent, and we'll be talking about faith and hope. And I cannot think of, it's a fabulous thing to talk about, and I'm looking forward to it as well. Okay, so there's many things happening here. Please pay attention to your bulletin, other activities that are going on here. And one of the activities that we have here each and every Sunday morning is a youth and family ministry area. So we're going to stand together. We invite you to stand, and let's bring in our beautiful children. And we're going to invite them to be careful getting on off the platform.
We are walking in the light.
Happy Gratitude Sunday, and thanks for all who held down the fort while I was on vacation. We had a great time in youth and family ministry. I got to be in the nursery with these four bunches of energy, and Lynn's going to talk about what they did in YES.
We had so much fun today. We got to play some games. And how many of you remember pickup sticks from when you were little? I had forgotten the words. Somebody had to teach me the words. I mean, the game, the rules. So somebody had to teach it to me. But we played pickup sticks, and then each color had a different kind of gratitude. So red was a person, yellow was a place, green was food, blue was a thing, and black was anything you wanted. So they loved that. And then our friend Ned came up and did some music, and we played Gratitude Hot Potato.
Lynn Jensen is a fabulous volunteer in our youth and family. And you know what, Lynn? I think you got upstage today. Do you know what I'm talking about? We're so grateful for you. And we're grateful for all of our adult volunteers. Let's appreciate them, okay? Grateful for you. Join us for lunch afterwards and also speak to at least three people you don't know before you leave the sanctuary, okay? And together we know that the light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is, and I am swell. All is well.
Now there is peace on earth, and it has begun with me. Please.
Lori Dockin.